YouTube, Double Censors Gavin Newsom critic. Oscar-winning filmmaker finds recall video restricted behind two barriers. By Ken Kersen, August 24th, 2021. Errol Weber shot the Oscar-winning Music by Prudence about a disabled singer in Zimbabwe. For his latest project, he took on politics a little closer to home. 100 Reasons to Recall Gavin Newsom covers various things that have gone wrong, from Weber's perspective, during Newsom's 3 years in office. It's a quick, funny clip job, narrated by Weber and using mostly screenshots from totally reputable news sources such as the AP, CNN, and California Globe. By today's standards, by any standards of political discourse actually, it's not particularly harsh. It's well-sourced and obviously topical. So why did YouTube, the near-monopoly video sharing service owned by near-monopoly Google, put this video behind not just one warning screen, but two? I can tell you what they sent me in the email, Weber told the Globe in an extensive interview on Monday night. On Friday, they wrote an email that read, "Our team has reviewed your content, and we don't think it's in line with our violent or graphic content policy. As a result, we've age-restricted the following content, 100 Reasons to Recall Gavin Newsom." Would-be viewers of the video now have to click through one screen that warns this video may be inappropriate for some users. When one agrees to move on despite that stark caution, one is greeted with a second black screen that warns the content has been identified by the YouTube community as inappropriate or offensive. Weber was shocked. Because they said violence, shocking or sensational, I'm like, the only thing that could fall under that category of like violence or sensational was the section where I was talking about Gavin Newsom signing into law AB 392, which I'm sure you know redefines what a police officer should use for the judgment of what would warrant use of deadly force. This is hardly the kind of obscure policy-based observation, one among literally 100, that marginalizes a video on YouTube. I made sure that many of the sources for this video were left-wing media, so if the fact-checkers on YouTube and Facebook wanted to fact-check me and discredit something, they would be discrediting their own left-wing media, said Weber. I spent 11 days making this video, from writing the scripts, to sourcing the material, to fact-checking it myself, to recording the scripts, to doing the edits, doing the post-production. It's very intensive work, but I knew I needed to make it perfect. The work is beginning to pay off. Even with the restrictions, the video has been viewed nearly 15,000 times since being posted August 14th. Weber is not completely new to state politics. In July 2019, Weber made a video called 40 Reasons to Recall Gavin Newsom. He says that it's racked up over 500,000 views, and that with a recall election actually a reality, it was time to update the concept.
I spoke with many groups of people. Many of them are concerned parents who are worried about what is being taught to their kids or losing their agency to choose what is best for the health of their children. I spoke with folks who are military, who are left destitute on the street outside the VA in Brentwood. I spoke with farmers in the Central Valley from Bakersfield all the way up to the San Joaquin region and about their lack of access to water. And I even spoke to folks in Sacramento who they're worried about the Sacramento River and the homeless who are dumping sewage into the river. We spoke over the past 2 years about a number of issues like access to good electricity, good sources of electricity. I've listened to people talk about the merits of offshore nuclear and desalination, all of these different things that could be done to improve California. And then I watch what Gavin Newsom does to the state, and I'm just like, everything that could be good for the state, it seems he does the opposite.
Building on the notoriety of the first video, Weber threw his own hat into the ring. In 2020, he campaigned for Congress in California's 37th Congressional District, which is west of downtown Los Angeles. According to Cook, that's a D-plus 37 district, and incumbent Karen Bass has regularly racked up Saddam Hussein-like 90% totals since the district assumed its current shape in 2012. Still, Weber made it to the finals by coming in second during the open primary. In November, he was inevitably crushed, but the ever-optimistic Weber pointed out that Republicans make up only 7% of the district's electorate, so his 14% actually doubled his predicted share. That campaign was an eye-opener for Weber.
Almost 3 decades of voting for the same Democrat and getting nothing out of it. I'm like, you know what? Let me be that Republican who comes in and offers them something different. And you know what I got in return? Death threats. There was one night I was putting up lawn signs. Now, interestingly, I can't put lawn signs in the ground. I have to post them 9 feet up in the air on utility poles. So I'd go around with a stepladder so I could hammer these lawn signs 9 feet in the air because I needed to keep it out of reach of children. I mean, Democrats. So while I was putting up my lawn signs in the middle of Leimert Park at night, which already is dangerous, they see my car with a giant 5-foot American flag draped across the hood of the car, and they're like, oh, you one of those Trump guys, you better get the car out of here. And then I said, what did you say? I'm not going to say it twice. I'm like, oh. So they're about to come after me. So I put up my last sign and got out of there. And I'm thinking to myself, here I am trying to offer conservative solutions to many problems that they've enabled through their voting habits over the past few decades, and they want to kill me? And it wasn't just one time. Like, there were rallies that happened last year in Tujunga, California, just north of the Burbank area. And there was, I believe it was a Trump rally. Yeah, it was a Trump rally happening in Tujunga, California. And across the street, there were BLM counter-protesters. So me being a candidate for Congress, I'm like, well, I need to talk to those people. So I crossed the street to go talk to the BLM counter-protesters. And one of these guys, a black guy about 6 inches shorter than me, comes up to my face and says, hey, man, you better get the F out of here, and about to beat you up. And I'm thinking to myself, and I said it to his face, I'm like, wait, so a black guy is threatening to beat up another black guy at a Black Lives Matter counter-protest. Please help me make that make sense.
The Globe asked Weber about his plans for September 14. The chatty filmmaker, born in Jamaica and raised in Baltimore, is not really the type of guy who gives yes or no answers on question one, or last name only, on question two. But Weber's explanation was so beautifully articulated, it's worth printing in full. I am voting yes on the recall and following the recall effort very closely. I believe that it is important in this election that we make a business decision with our votes. It is important for both candidates and for voters to take a good hard look at the fate of California. We have one shot at getting Gavin Newsom out and replacing him with someone competent and conservative. And if we do not act right, we're going to be in a position where we may enable the wrong person to become a governor. I've seen in many online forums on Facebook and on Instagram and whatnot, people who are saying that they want to vote their conscience, which sounds great, but we have another situation going on right now where we have a competent and very well-known Republican running in the recall. His name is Larry Elder, and he is so far ahead in the polls that if we are to split the vote in this recall effort, we may actually hurt ourselves. Let's all throw all of our votes into Larry Elder and ensure we secure him getting across the finish line. This is hardly the first time that the tech giants have censored viewpoints critical of Democratic politicians. 3 weeks before the 2020 presidential election, the New York Post produced a bombshell when it unearthed the computer hard drive of soon-to-be first son Hunter Biden. Not only did the hard drive contain much embarrassing information that was of at least arguable news value, and certainly would have been weaponized word about Donald Trump Jr., but it also contained information that appeared to link Joe Biden himself to questionable business ventures. This bombshell revelation was newsworthy by any standard. It was literally front page news in the nation's oldest newspaper. And yet Twitter unilaterally made the decision to censor and disallow sharing of the story across its platform, and even froze the Post's own Twitter account for 2 weeks. At the exact same time, Twitter allowed Politico and others to tweet stories falsely characterizing the Post's scoop as Russian disinformation. It was crazy. A true important story was censored while false speculation was permitted. Congress promised action and in March dragged in Twitter CEO Jack Dorsey to explain how such a travesty could be allowed to affect an American election. He apologized. That's it. Nothing else happened. Now we've got an award-winning filmmaker being hidden behind not one but two, are you sure you want to view this dangerous content, blockers. California Globe reached out to YouTube for comment on why the relatively mainstream opinions of an Oscar-winning black filmmaker have suddenly found themselves behind two efforts to block viewers. We were promised a prompt reply. It's 4 hours later and we've heard nothing. Should we receive a reply, the story will be updated to include it. Thank you.
Audio Hoppa.